Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every year we hear this powerful story. We'll hear it several times. This wonderful account of God coming and speaking to a young woman named Mary. It happens, it says, in the first chapter of Luke in the sixth month, which, by the way, is not June. It is the sixth month since Elizabeth had become pregnant. Elizabeth, who was barren, who had no children. In that sixth month of her pregnancy, the angel comes and visits Mary. A virgin, a young woman, it says. And she's 13, 14, 15, engaged to a young man named Joseph. And the angel comes to her and says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And then proceeds to tell her what's going to happen. It's an incredible moment. The angel says, "You, the Lord is with you. Don't be afraid, for God has found favor with you. And now you're going to have a son." Well, I've worked with a number of 14 and 15-year-old girls over the year who have gotten pregnant. And very seldom was their response to be joyful. It's rare. Usually, and I suspect that this may have been the case for Mary, when they find out that they're going to have a child at that age, it says in the gospel she was much perplexed. I think that's maybe a little bit of an understatement. I suspect this young woman was scared. Now, as if all of that wasn't enough, the angel goes on. "Not only are you going to have a son and name him Jesus, so the whole naming thing is taken care of, but he will be great." It's what every mother wants in that time, to have a son, and not only that, have him be great. My mother had four sons. All of them average. And not only is he going to be great. Now, remember, this poor 13-year-old girl is standing there listening as she's sitting at the kitchen table drinking her tea. "Not only are you going to be pregnant and have a son and call him Jesus, he will be great. And by the way, he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David." No pressure. He's going to be great, and by the way, he's going to be a king. Fair enough. But not done. Not only will he be great and be a king, but he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. Right about now, Mary is more than a little panicked. Can you imagine the pressure? This poor little girl finding out that the Spirit will come upon her and the power of the Lord will overshadow her, and she will give birth to a son who will be great, who will be a king, who will be king forever. It's an incredible story. But the most incredible part of the story of all is her response. Mary replies, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Can you imagine? For most of my career, what I've heard over and over again from those who are trying to sort of prove who God is, they always want to point to the virgin birth and say, well, this proves it. This Jesus must be God because of the virgin birth. And they want to concentrate in this story on her virginity and this amazing miracle that happened. But I think the true miracle of the moment is her response. Her incredible, faithful response. Here I am. Here I am. Let it be according to your word. I cannot imagine that being my response. I just can't imagine it. The angel of the Lord has come down and said all of these things, and her response is, okay, sounds good. That is the miracle. In that First Testament lesson, we hear the story about how God says, hey, look, I didn't ever ask you to build anything for me. I didn't ask you to build a temple of cedar. I didn't ask you to do any of those things. I just want to abide with you, pitch tent with you. And this story tells us how God chose to pitch tent with us. It starts with a young, scared woman and her perplexed betrothed. The miracle of the story is that she's heard a call and responded. And it is that call and response that I think is at the core of the story and the core of the story for us. Many years ago, I spoke with a friend who was a pastor by chance and was having a very difficult time in the ministry. Now, you may or may not know, the way that we refer to how pastors work is that we receive a call. We aren't hired. You can tell that we're not hired because we're so difficult to fire. We get called, which means that there's lots of prayer and thought, and we say yes to what God and the congregation is calling us to. Well, this gentleman was having a terrible time. Frankly, he was a little sick of it. He was tired of people coming in and complaining about the music is too loud, the music is too soft, the sermons are too long, I don't get what you're saying, the lady in front of me wears her hat too big. You name it. He just got so sick of hearing all of the complaints. That story was recalled by me as I read through Brian Stoffergren's material for the exegesis for this sermon. He had a very similar kind of experience, that a friend of his also came and complained about being in the ministry. And he said to him, and I thought about this later, it's a call. It's a call. You either learn to love that call and embrace it wholeheartedly, with all of its complaints and joys and funerals and lousy weddings, with people complaining that it's too cold or it's too hot. Things, by the way, when you're outside in a service, you have no control over. You learn to love it, or you walk away and you find out what else God has for you. Mary doesn't have any choice about becoming pregnant. But she embraces that moment to live it in faith. And that is the power of her story and our story, that each and every one of us has also been called to bear Christ. And we do it in so many different ways. And our callings as bankers and lawyers and trash collectors, mothers and fathers, janitors, in all of the vocations of our lives, we too have been called to bear Christ to the world. Our very life, which you had no choice of its beginning, in the same way that Mary had no choice, your very life is your call. And so as we come closer to the beginning of time for Jesus, as those Advent candles burn lower and lower, and we experience that moment when Jesus is born in a manger, our calls become clear. The question is, what will be our response? Imagine for a moment, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word.